It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now we explore the work of the Slippage Lab at Northwestern University, elevating the Black experience through dance and connecting it across disciplines, and in the process, engaging creativity for the common good and lifting up underrepresented voices in the arts. Call in with your questions about African-American identity through dance, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Thomas DeFrance is a professor in the School of Communication at Northwestern, where Thomas directs the Slippage Research Group. Thomas, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Good morning. So you plan to use $500,000 in this new grant funding to look more closely at Black dance practices across the country. What questions do you hope to answer?
Oh my goodness, so many. We have so many just amazing things that come from Black forms of expression, and in particular dance, which is the thing that I am most concerned with in this particular grant. So we wonder how people understand place and place as a way to move towards freedom. I think that's the main way that we're thinking about what the grant is for and what we're up to in the lab in our work over the next few years.
Where will that take you? Where will you be able to travel outside of, you know, Northwestern to be able to understand that?
That's a great point. And one of the things that was interesting about this particular project, we've been very concerned with Black forms of creativity and dance, you know, for our 15 years of operation in the Slippage Lab. But for this particular project, we decided to choose six cities. And what was interesting when I was working with Shireen Dixon, the managing director of the lab, we realized very quickly that we could pretty much choose any city in the United States and find a vibrant and important site of Black creativity and Black dance. That said, the six we chose are, drum roll please, Chicago, of course, because we're based here in Chicago, Evanston. Then moving northward, Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And in Minneapolis, we want to look at the Black queer and drag ball scene in Minneapolis. So that might be a bit of a surprise to people that there is a vibrant scene there, and we're curious about what's happening there. Then we'll head over to visit our friends in Detroit, which has an amazingly robust JIT dance scene that's been in operation for at least 10 years. Moving south, we'll go to Atlanta, where pretty much everything happens in Atlanta. We'll be able to engage with all kinds of communities of dance there. We'll go out further west to Los Angeles, which of course also has created any number of important forms of Black dance that are still in circulation globally. And finally, for something a little bit different, we thought we'd move all the way down to Miami to take some attention and temperature of Black and Latinx sort of collaborations. Black dance is an aspect of reggaeton and how these formations are actually in conversation, producing other sort of embodied actions of freedom.
Can you make some connections to dance in caring for and supporting the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yes, I certainly can. One thing we noticed all throughout the pandemic when the largest protests were happening was how central dance had become. So people who had been locked up, you know, we'd been quarantined and held back from our public sort of presences and public celebrations. And as we gathered in these protests for the last two or three years, dance became a kind of always there-ness. There was always dance in the protests. So the Slippage Group, in collaboration with CAD, the Collegium for African Diaspora Dance, started accounting for how dance was being mobilized as an aspect of social justice for this generation of people who are dancing and protesting. So there's a way that dance has always been aligned with Black life and Black creativity, and also Black protest. And these generations that are dancing now over the last 10 years or so in this social justice movement are deploying dance as a way to express pain, submerged traumas, but also resiliency, powerfulness, and a willingness to keep going.
It can express so much. You can express so much in movement. How do you make these connections to dance with history and technology and performance? And, you know, on the technology bit, like, I learned that your undergrad, you had a minor in computer science. You know, in my crack sleuthing. But I how do you connect dance with technology?
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's actually true. I've been really concerned with keeping left and right brain sorts of operations moving among each other as best I can. Well, I want to start by saying that dance is a technology, and dance is a technology of feeling. And one way we know this to be true is that when we dance, we feel differently. So dance actually gives us a roadmap for how a sort of organization of energy, you know, whatever you're doing that you're calling dance, it is guaranteed to make you feel differently. So however you were feeling before you danced, you'll feel something else after you dance or while you dance. So dance already is a technology, and it's taken me a while to sort of come around to that point of view. There were lots of researchers saying that 50 or 75 years ago. But for me, it really was just only the last 2 or 3 years that I felt convinced that this was a reasonable way to move that idea forward. Now, in terms of actual technology that we might, you know, buy at a store or develop it in our own little workshops at home, we do things like we hack the VR headsets so that groups of people can see what's happening inside one of the headsets while someone's dancing. So we can create these different ways to understand how dance, how it propels itself outward and what dance can do. So we have all kinds of little tricks that we're after in terms of responsive environments or responsive wearable technologies that we develop in the lab to help us understand how dance might be organized.
We're talking with Northwestern University professor Thomas DeFrance, leads the Slippage Lab, which explores these connections between performance and theater and emergent technology. Join our conversation, calling with your questions, your comments on the universe of dance, dance steps, communication through movement, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Northwestern University dance professor Thomas DeFrance, who directs the Slippage Lab, taking this interdisciplinary approach to Black dance and connecting it to history and theater and technology. Still time to share your thoughts and ask questions, 800-642-1234. Thomas, let's turn our attention to teaching hip-hop and how you connect hip-hop with history and the industrial prison complex and urban renewal and multiculturalism with dance practices. Can you give us an example how hip-hop dance practices, you know, connect with these things?
Well, it is pretty amazing how dance can become a lever for understanding how people live their lives. Hip-hop, like jazz before it, is maybe a kind of umbrella constellation of activity. So we say hip-hop, and we're thinking of maybe popping and locking, breaking, six steps, capoeira, repurposed through certain kinds of rhythms to become something else. So hip-hop is a cultural formation that includes maybe crumping, maybe b-girling and b-boying. So all these different kinds of ways to move. And these movements are forms that young Black people create so that we can express. So there's kind of a way that our dances are always embedded in questions of access to healthy food or healthcare or to good educational processes or better teachers and infrastructure. our dances are constantly telling stories about what it's like to be in the spaces of the carceral state or the space of a police state. So we have dances like hip hop, which is especially hard-edged and weighted in its formations, like the dancing is hard, like you're preparing yourself for battle. And these dances emerge exactly at the moment that the U.S. police state seems to take a turn against Black Americans in the 1980s. So we can look historically at what sorts of Black dances developed in any historical period and what was happening surrounding the Black people who were dancing these dances. We can see these relationships, and they help us understand how history and culture have been fomented.
What about the collision of Black dance in other forms of dance? And I'm just wondering how you see the Black experience and Black dance informing modern, you know, contemporary ballet.
Oh, that's such a great question. And it is sort of one of my own personal areas of research interest. I do think that there's a way that Black affect, or the ways that African Americans essentially narrate the worlds we inhabit through our movements. So how we move, how we might turn the neck or circle a shoulder or shimmy or drop towards our knees with our weight. These are ways to move that we might recognize as Black movements, and they show up in ballet, and they show up in modern dance, and they certainly show up on Broadway or in contemporary filmmaking or music videos. So these ways to move become shared languages that populations all across the planet engage in. And that's what's so interesting to me, is that these are Black forms of movement that then become common forms that are practiced by people in India, or our friends who are recovering in Turkey and Syria, or in Haiti, of course, but also in Sweden or in Alaska.
How well are choreographers incorporating historically significant Black dance practices into their performances?
Yes, very well, I would say. We see this all the time, everywhere. You know, there's a question about paying attention and compensation. So is there actually kind of the financial return? And we saw this in TikTok when there were some young Black creators who were developing dances on TikTok, but they were not being compensated for these forms that were shared around the planet. And then other sort of, I'm not sure what that word is, trenders or influencers were able to receive money and goods, while the young Black creatives were not. But we only know about that because a protest was raised and there was some sort of retribution. You know, some of these young Black creatives were at least paid a tiny compensation for their creative work. But it's just an example of how Black dance forms have so much broad appeal, and so many people from many different places on the planet get excited about these different forms that come from this culture.
Talking about dance with Thomas DeFrance, a Northwestern University professor studying Black dance practices. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Howard in Portage. Hi, Howard, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if the professor is familiar or has worked with Agba Ja from Ghana, which is a piece of music, or maybe many pieces of music, that based on a percussion ensemble, bridges jazz and Latin American drumming, and of course comes with a dance, or many dances. Prominent piece of music for me in my life.
Howard, thank you. Thomas.
Thank you so much for that question. And the Collegium for African Diaspora Dance has several African dance experts on its board of directors. So I know that in my close group of colleagues and research affiliates, we have folks who are directing the African American Dance Ensemble and directing Dance Black Black Africa in America, which is a huge festival that travels around the United States. So while the Ghanaian forms are definitely not my area of expertise, I do have on speed dial researchers who have ways to think about these forms. And I'm just so glad to hear that that particular form and constellation of dance and music has been important to you in your life. This is why we make art, is to share it and help people figure things out that they need to know. So I'm glad to hear you mention this particular Ghanaian form that has such a presence in the U.S. now.
Is there documentation? Is there enough written knowledge about these particular dance forms that to ensure that they are not forgotten or that they can be continued on?
This is exactly why we formed the Collegium for African Diaspora Dance. So this group started with 12 researchers, including myself, in 2012, so 10, 11 years ago now. And we went from 12 people to about 350 now. And these are all researchers who work on Black dance or African diaspora dance and its formations, and translating these gestures into writing or into video lectures, or into, now we're trying to think about modeling AI systems so that we can share this information and be sure, to your point, that the stories of these dances can be told and told again.
Thomas, thank you for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Thomas DeFrance is a professor in Northwestern University's School of Communication and director of the Slippage Research Group. We have a link at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.